the divine souls. I've been explaining some of Shri Krishna's leelas from the Bhagavatam. Hari Ananta, Hari Katha Ananta. The leelas of Shri Krishna are endless. You can't count them, there are so many. What is described in the Bhagavatam is merely a little taste of Shri Krishna's leelas. When he was here on earth, he was here for 125 years. Out of that time, the first 11 and a half were in Braj. And every day, all day, and sometimes all night too, he was doing leelas. So who could write all of those leelas that happened? And on top of that, many times he was doing leelas in various forms simultaneously. In one form, he was out grazing the cows with the Gwalbals, doing Braj leelas. And in another form, he was playing in Gavarban forest with Radharani and the gopis. His leelas defy our material logic, but they can be and have been categorized for our understanding. Shri Krishna, in his almighty form, as Mahavishnu, doesn't do such leelas where souls get to interact with him. He does certain actions at certain times, but these are not leelas done for the participation of souls to enjoy the bliss of that leela. Those leelas are done to accomplish some particular task. As Ram, he does leelas eternally in Saket Lok. In his avatar as Shri Krishna, he did leelas in Dwarika Abode, he did leelas in Mathura Abode, and he did leelas in Braj. These are progressively sweeter and sweeter. There's more and more Madhurya. Madhurya is revealed as his Aishwarya is concealed. Similarly, in the world, the more formally a person is behaving in any given situation, the less, if there's someone there who knows them intimately, but is with them in a very formal situation, they're not going to be able to enjoy the sweetness of that intimate relationship with them. Like if your mother is a teacher. When your mother is at home, she holds you in her arms. She plays with you. She might make something for you and make you eat it. So you have such a close relationship with her. But in the classroom, if you were to go in the school, she would have to treat you like any other kid, right? So that sweetness is gone. Now there's a formality which restricts the sweetness. That's Shri Krishna as Mahavishnu, as the king. As Shri Ram, that's slightly, that formality and almightiness is slightly reduced. It's concealed, so more of his lovingness is revealed. As Dwarikadhish Shri Krishna, even more of that Madhurya is revealed. He becomes less formal. As Mathuradhish Shri Krishna, the leelas he did in Mathura were even sweeter than those he did in Dwarika because he was less formal there. And in Braj, there was no formality. You can say that, in fact, Shri Krishna didn't act like God at all. Other than killing a few demons here and there, he didn't show his divine power. He didn't give any lectures like he did in the Mahabharata war to Arjuna, telling exactly who he is, I'm God. He didn't do that in Braj. In fact, when accidentally his mother happened to catch a glimpse of that divine state, his actual divine status, that the whole universe is within him, he made her forget. Because the Madhurya was gone. The instant she saw that, she said, "My son is the Lord of the universe?" Huh? And she was shaking. She was overwhelmed, like Arjun was overwhelmed seeing Shri Krishna's almighty form on the battlefield. He was trembling, such a great warrior, and he was trembling before Shri Krishna. Not always, but in general, given a choice, souls, people like us, will choose the Madhurya form, not the Aishwarya form. We want to have him as our friend, our child, our beloved. It is this form that Shri Krishna revealed in Braj when he played with the Gwalbals as a boy plays with his friends, joking with them, rejoicing them by making them laugh, playing games with them, getting teased by them, with his mother being demanding, as all little boys are, "Mother, I want the butter now." "Well, right now I'm churning the curd, so I have to churn the curd, then we'll get the butter out, then I can feed you the butter. Mother, churn the curd later, give me the butter now." So a devotee just feels, "Oh, I want Krishna like that. I don't want him sitting like on the throne of Dwarika. I am the ruler of this kingdom. I dole out punishments and give charity every morning. And okay, yeah, it's our same Shri Krishna, but I want that Madhurya wale Shri Krishna, Braj wale Shri Krishna." So anyway, within Braj also there were different classes of saints who got to enjoy different classes of Leela. The Sakhyabhav saints, Shri Krishna's friends, the Gwalbals, they got to enjoy what are called Sakhya Ras Leelas. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they loved him with Vatsalya Bhav, as you would love your own child. And some of the older gopis and older gopis, they also had that fatherly or motherly love for Shri Krishna. So they got to enjoy the Vatsalya Ras of Shri Krishna's Leelas. Both come in the category of general Braj Leelas. Sometimes all were together, like Gwalbals, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, gopis, everyone together, like when everyone gets together and plays holi. That's also a general Braj Leela. But sometimes Shri Krishna would reveal an even more intimate form of himself, Vrindavan wale Shri Krishna. In these Leelas, only Radharani and the gopis are there. All these types of bliss and types of Leelas are also eternally being given and eternally happening in the divine abode. And when Shri Krishna and Radharani came here, they also revealed those different types of Leelas on this earth, so that we could know about them. And some of the saints who had attained one type of divine bliss or attained Shri Krishna in one type of form could also take avatar, because there's no way to upgrade in the divine world. You're totally happy with what you have. But if someone at some point in their devotion before God realization had desired the Leelas of Radha Krishna, they might be given a chance to also come during Radha and Krishna's avatar, and they could come as a Gwalbal or a gopi or something like that, and then they would get to experience that ras. So sometimes Shri Krishna was doing different types of Leelas simultaneously. He might be doing Kunj. See, the Vrindavan style Leelas, they're divided into Kunj, Nikunj, Nibhrit Nikunj. Leelas. In Kunj Leelas, all the gopis participate with Radha and Krishna. In Nikunj Leelas, only the Ashtamaha Sakhiya participate. Radharani's eight personal aides, the eight gopis who are actually emanations of Radharani herself. They're her swanch. And in Nibhrit Nikunj Leelas, only Radha Krishna are there. Even the eight personal aides of Radharani don't have direct entrance to those Leelas. Sometimes multiple Leelas may have been going on at once. Like in one form, Shri Krishna is out grazing the cows. He left his mother in the morning. Gopis watched him go. They're thinking, how will I spend the day without getting to see my Kanha? He's out grazing the cows and he comes back and everyone sees him and his mother gives him a bath and feeds him dinner. This is a general Braj Leela. But simultaneously in another form, Shri Krishna has walked to Barsana and met Radha and the gopis in Gavarban, in the wood garden near Radha's palace on Barsana Hill. Or they met at Kusum Sarovar or at Prem Sarovar. What I'm trying to say is the number of Leelas is unimaginable. The Bhagavatam just tells a few of these. And out of those, I'm sharing some of them as I've understood them through Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. One day, Shri Krishna was playing on Govardhan Mountain. Of course, the cows were grazing. And while they were grazing, Krishna and the Gwalbals were playing hide and seek. And also, what kids nowadays call cops and robbers. That's what we used to call it. So they had some, they divided the team up. They had some of the Gwalbals became sheep. Some became the guardians of the sheep. And some became thieves. So then the goal was for those who were assigned as thieves, they had to come and try to carry, you know, grab a hold of the sheep and carry them off. And the guards had to try to catch the thieves. So in the middle of this came another asur, another demon, Vyoma Asur. He took the form of a Gwalbal and he started carrying off Gwalbals and hiding them in a cave up there on Govardhan Hill, and he blocked the entrance to the cave with a big, huge boulder so they couldn't get out. So when there were only four or five Gwalbals left, Shri Krishna says, okay, enough of this. And he sees Vyoma Asur running off with his friends. So he went and stopped him, grabbed him, killed him, and went and opened the cave and let his friends out. And they were all happy. They all hugged him. Now, Akrurji is on his way from Mathura. Akrur means one who is not cruel. But Kans has sent him on a mission. He is to go and bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So, having received that agya from Kans, he slept that night in Mathura in his house, and the next day he got on his chariot and he left for Braj. The whole way, as he was riding his chariot, he was thinking about meeting Krishna and Balaram. You know how sometimes when you're very attached to someone, it could either be out of love or out of dislike. You think about the next conversation you're going to have with them and you plan it in your head about 50 different ways. You don't even realize you're doing it, but you're having this conversation with this person. Or am I the only one who does that? Am I crazy? I think probably everybody's mind works that way. So you're thinking about, okay, I'll say this and they'll say that. And so this is actually a form of what? Rup Dhyan. That's right. Akrurji was doing Rup Dhyan of Krishna and Balaram the whole way. Okay, when I get there, they'll probably greet me like this, and then I'll say this, and they'll do that. So he was so much looking forward to meeting Krishna and Balaram that he was just thinking about them, meditating upon them the whole time. When he reached there, it happened exactly the way he imagined it. He got there, and Krishna and Balaram came and personally met him, and asked about his well-being, and invited them into their house. And there, of course, Nanda Baba and Yashoda came and treated him like a respected guest. Krishna and Balaram washed his feet. They had some nice conversation. And then Akrurji said, plain and simple, "Your Mamaji, Kans, he has sent me. There is a big Dhanush Yagya going to happen tomorrow. And you've been invited to come and attend. He would like you to be his guests over there. And he wants you to see the great city of Mathura." So Krishna and Balaram, knowing full well what Kansa's plan was, they agreed. Nanda Baba was also invited. He told all the gopis, "Come on, we're loading up all of our belgadis and we're going to Mathura. We are also going to witness this great event." So as Krishna and Balaram are getting on the chariot to go to Mathura, the residents of Braj feel like they're losing the treasure of their life. Although Shri Krishna didn't say to anybody that "I'm not coming back," which he didn't. He's only been on the earth for 11 and a half years. And he's about to go to Mathura and not return to Braj until the day he leaves the earth. Over 100 years. He's not saying that. He's saying, "I'll be right back. I'm just going to Mathura." But they can't bear to see him go. We were just singing, "Mero ek prana dhan, mero hai jivan." Shri Krishna was literally the life of those Brajwasis. Gopis, Gwalbals, Mother Yashoda. We have attachment in some people in this world. So we know what it feels like to love. We know what it feels like to be loved. We know what it feels like to miss somebody that we're dearly attached to. God has given us this loving heart so that we would know how to love him. Let me say that again. Shri Krishna has given us a loving heart so we would understand perfectly well how to love him. It's no mystery how to do bhakti. The very same way we love our children, our friends, our spouse, exactly the same way we can love Krishna. Our heart doesn't have to learn any new skill. What gopis and gwalbals felt in meeting with Shri Krishna and what they felt in separation for Shri Krishna, we can only have a small glimpse, a tiny guess of that, because we know what it feels like to love, and we know what it feels like to be separated from someone we love. But what they felt was many times multiplied from what we experience in the world. You see, when you start to do devotion to Shri Krishna, you start loving him, your heart becomes attached to him a little bit, and then you feel love for him. Then you realize, your mind recognizes, that feeling of love is much deeper and much stronger than anything I experience in this world. It's of a different quality. It's like on a soul level. So imagine, even as you do devotion, that love for Shri Krishna grows stronger and stronger and more powerful and deeper in your heart. Now imagine gopis, Gwalbals, Mother Yashoda, all these Brajwasis, they're divine saints. Their devotion got perfected a long time ago. We're doing devotion. They perfected their devotion. Their love for Shri Krishna, when they were doing devotion like us, they kept doing it all the way until it reached the state of perfection. Siddha Bhakti. Their heart became completely purified and totally joined with Shri Krishna and completely permeated with Shri Krishna's love. So the love they experience in being with Shri Krishna is actually unimaginable for us. We cannot imagine, but we can have a little glimpse through our own devotion, whatever level we've reached to, we have some guess. But multiply that by infinity, and you have the love of the Brajwasis for Shri Krishna. When you love someone in this world very dearly, and you're separated from them, you just feel like this person you can't live without. They give you so much happiness. They're like a part of your life. The Brajwasi's love for Shri Krishna, when it's infinite times greater than the love we have for any person in this world, then their feeling is not just that Shri Krishna is a part of my life. Shri Krishna is my life. You remember when I described Gopi Geet, and gopis were singing to Shri Krishna, praying to him and saying, we can't live without you. When you're out grazing the cows and you come back and we just have that brief glimpse of you passing by as you return in the afternoon, at that time, because we have eyelids and we think Brahma made a big mistake by making those eyelids, because those eyelids come in between us and you for a fraction of a second. But that fraction of a second when our eyelid closes for us feels like a yug. A yug is hundreds of thousands of years. When you're feeling intense pain, time seems to take a lot longer, doesn't it? If you get in a car accident and you have a broken leg, you're waiting for the ambulance to come and get you out of the car and take you to the hospital and give you some painkillers, it might take 10 minutes till they give you the painkiller. But that 10 minutes probably felt like 100 years for you, dealing with that pain. Although the pain of viraha is not a bad pain, it's a sweet pain, it's an enjoyable pain, like when you eat a lot of mirchi in your food, you love the pain of that mirchi. Something like that, not exactly. Nonetheless, the sweet pang of separation gives the gopis the feeling that time is passing so slowly without Shri Krishna. And in fact, they don't even know sometimes, how will I keep my pran in my body? It just feels like the life is going to go out of my body. But then there is a battle going on between their eyes and their pran. Their pran says, the pain of this vira is too much. I can't bear it anymore. And the pran are getting ready to leave the body. And the eyes say, don't you dare. You stay here. I want another glimpse of him. Such is the love of these gopis and other brajwasis for Shri Krishna. Now that life of their life, Shri Krishna is getting on a chariot to go away. Shri Krishna had rejoiced those gopis with his simple-heartedness. Look at how simple he is, how loving, how friendly. Supreme God forgets his godliness. And he's playing with illiterate gwalbals. Meanwhile, over here, there are educated Brahmins doing great yajñas and chanting mantras of the Vedas with proper enunciation. Shri Krishna isn't attracted by that. He's attracted by the simple love in the heart of his friends. So he's over here playing with the illiterate gwalbals. He doesn't go anywhere near those yajñas. Over here, he's talking to the calves. Go suta hun kritai. Hun kar rahe. He's mumbling and talking in their language with those little calves. Oh, are you hungry? Should I let you loose? You can go eat some grass, or you can go find your mom and drink her milk. Should you want? Oh, okay. He's talking to the calves. Over here, some great learned personalities are reciting stutis of Shri Krishna. He's staying far away from that. He'd rather be over here talking to the calves. Over here, he's seen serving the gopis, dancing for them. They're just clapping their hands and he's dancing for the promise of a little bit of chach. He's helping them lift their basket of gober on their head and collect the gober. He's serving those gopis. He's become their das. And over here, the great yogis are sitting and doing dhyan of him. They're trying to meditate on him in their samadhi, and he's not going in their samadhi. Over there where he's being invited to please come in my mind as my swami, he's not going over there. He's happily going as their servants to the gopis. So who could be so simple-hearted, so loving to his devotees? So all the brajwasis felt like, if he goes, how will we live? Gopis were actually throwing themselves in front of Akrurji's chariot, that Krishna should not leave. They were hanging on to the chariot. Eventually, Shri Krishna went out of Braj, leaving the whole of Braj in a state of viraha which cannot be imagined. Cows stopped feeding their calves. Calves stopped wanting to drink milk. The gwalbals didn't want to play anymore. Gopis found no interest in anything. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba didn't know what to do without their Lala in the house. The whole of Braj was dried up, you could say, without Shri Krishna there. Even the plants and trees, everything started taking on this dried up look. There are many important lessons about this whole scenario. There are many secrets which are not known by everyone regarding Shri Krishna's leaving Braj. And these things will be explained in the days to come. These will help you understand Shri Krishna's leelas. They will help you increase your love for him. And they'll give you more ways of internally doing your devotion to him. So we'll continue with Shri Krishna's traveling to Mathura, what happened there in Mathura, and one of the most important events described in the Bhagavatam, when Shri Krishna sent his friend Uddhav, a great gyani, the greatest gyani of that time, back to Braj to teach the gopis. Ostensibly to teach the gopis, was actually for them to teach him. But all of these important leelas will be discussed in the days to come. Boli Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.